one is moving on the street.
If we can touch that one gang member, with that one word, we can reach entire gangs. We can reach entire cities.
We, the people of God, are going to bring the light into the darkness.
They're like sheep without a shepherd.
They don't know him yet.
A lot of times they feel trapped.
Anyone that's growing in light is going to have an increasing heart for those who are in darkness.
Go in his power and in his love and demonstrate who he is.
I say people made a believer out of me.
We send them out two by two.
To a wounded and dying world. Not to condemn, but to love.
Know his love, man. He loves you.
The dead raised, the sick healed, devils cast out in great measure, the poor looked after, and it should be normal Christianity.
God's heart burns for the lost,
and he wants us to take the prophetic to the streets.
Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King. I'm so glad you're with us today. We're going to be talking about the Highway Byway Revival with our guest, Stacy Campbell. And so we want you to stay tuned for the entire program because we're going to see how Jesus is calling you to take light into the darkness. It's time to go in and take the land. The church is getting a Joshua spirit. It's time to go in and possess. It's time to go in and conquer the giants. It's time to go in and put a stake in the ground for the Lord so that he will be glorified in all the earth. Because it's a go season. And Jesus said, go ye into all the world. He didn't say, stay ye in all the church. What's God calling you to?
God loves you with an everlasting love.
Oh, I see.
Welcome to Insights Today. I have Stacy Campbell with me, and we're going to start the program out right away, Stacy, with an outrageous prophecy that you brought a few years ago. It just chills me. In fact, all of your prophecies do. The Lord has anointed you so much. But this one in particular is called the Highway Byway Revival. Mm-hmm. And so tell us a little bit about how the Lord gave you this word.
Well, actually, that one came actually as a result of intimacy in my heart. It felt like something for the bride. It felt like as the bride gets closer and closer to Jesus. And the whole thing was birthed in my own pursuit of just wanting to know Jesus better. And suddenly when I was getting that place of intimacy and touching his heart, it's like his heart enlarged and I could see, wow. He thinks different than me. He was just caring for the whole wide world. He was caring for all of them. Wow. And the flashes of their faces came to my mind and my heart. And I think that intimacy will always lead you to the uttermost.
This prophecy carries such a revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ and his blood. Mm-hmm. And that's my most favorite message in the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to take you to this clip right now.
The Highway Byway Revival. Luke 14, 17 to 23. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited to come, for everything is now ready. But they all began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it, so please excuse me. The second said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go and try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I cannot come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant to go quickly into the street and alleys of the town and to bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, said the servant, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. The master told the servant, go out to the roads and country lanes, into the highways and the byways, and make them, compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. So the Lord is issuing us a challenge. He is saying, come, for all things are now ready, and the time of my great banquet is approaching. Prepare yourselves in that wedding gown. Make yourself ready and fill yourselves with righteous acts that will reflect my glory, the glory of compassion, mercy, loving kindness, truth, forgiveness, and justice. Prepare yourselves. And at that time, the bridegroom will give a revelation to the bride like she has never had before of how great is his love and how big is his heart, so that the bride will begin to catch it and capture it and begin to look just like the bridegroom. And out of that love, she will go into places where she has never gone before. She will go out to the poor and to the blind and to the crippled and to the lame. And she will begin to go out and she will begin to increase in righteous acts. And there will be a harvest at the end of the age that will come through those servants who are willing to go where Jesus has called them to go, to places where the cross will be the most evident, to the highways and to the byways, and to the places where no one else will go, to the crosses of the earth. And then the bridegroom will gaze at his bride, and the bride will gaze at the bridegroom, and the love between them will be so intense that the greater love that Jesus spoke of will begin to flourish in the bride, and she will begin to lay her life down in unprecedented fashion for those who cannot pay her back. She will begin to look just like Jesus did on the cross. And the understanding of love that looks like a cross will hit the church for those who have ears to hear. And the greater love and the greater works will begin to flourish and to flow in the church. And greater love has no man than this, than he lays his life down for his friends. And we are his friends if we do what he asks.
What great love. What great love. What else can we say when you think about the love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross when he actually did everything for us that we needed to have done to fulfill covenant with God. And we're so safe, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're so safe.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a revival anointing on us now, yeah, so that we can go and take his grace into the world around us. We can create a highway byway revival.
Yeah, that's right.
We can go take this love out to the streets. I mean, we're already safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could choose to spend the rest of our life inside of church services and programs and keep comfortable with all the good things in our life, or we could choose to go to the ones that that need him the most.
Reach those in the streets, the marketplace, and the world around you with the life-giving gospel. The School of Extreme Prophetic offers powerful equipping and impartation so that you're fully furnished to reach the world around you. The school includes prophetic evangelism training as well as an outreach to the streets. It's a lot of fun and it's life-changing. Meet new friends and with them bring light into the darkness. Go online at extremeprophetic.com for more information.
My kids, but I had no idea how to do anything in normal society. I didn't know how to hold a job. I didn't know how to do any of that, and I supported them in the ways that I knew, and most of that really wasn't legal. And I was out here one night and I was doing my thing. And there was this girl, Amanda. The thing that lasted in my mind, that lasted in my heart, and like changed me, was the fact that she smiled at me. She was blonde and she was from California, and she had these white teeth and they were so pretty, and she smiled. She actually seemed to care. Church can't be about sitting in a pew and just praising the Lord. It has to be going out there and doing it, because people like me don't come into church. You have to take church to us so we can find it.
Welcome to God Talk. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us because He's anointed us to preach good news to the afflicted. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why the Spirit of the Lord is upon us is so that we can minister to those who are afflicted, to those who are needy, to those who are poor. And one of my heroes in the faith is Mother Teresa, because she did that. Yeah. And you were actually over in India to where she ministered. Tell us about that. How did it feel?
It was like many years ago, 20-some years ago, and we were on a missions trip around the world. And we stopped in Calcutta to her mission station. And she wasn't there, but all the nuns that she'd trained up were there. And I discovered that Mother Teresa never began her ministry to the poor till she was 43 years old, 42 or 43 years old. And she had been a teacher in a Catholic high school. She'd been a nun and she'd taken her vows, etc. But one day she was walking along the street and she saw a beggar there in the streets of Calcutta, which they're everywhere. And she looked down and she heard the audible voice of God say to her, "Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me." And that was when her ministry to the poor began. And the thing about it is, she was able to transfer that heart so that when we walked into her mission station in Calcutta, there were these people there. And frankly, I mean, I was 25 or 26 years old, and frankly I'd never seen poverty like that. I'd never seen people like that. I just came from the West, and it was revolting. I mean, they had open sores all over them. They were just lying there. They were dying right before your eyes, and there were these nuns bent over to them. And the thing that impacted me was these nuns were treating those people as though they were Jesus himself. "Whatsoever you do to the least of these, you've done to me." And I was never the same. I shifted in my understanding of how Jesus loves the poor.
Wow. You know, if we were to treat each other that way, you know, if I were to treat you as I would treat my Jesus, if I were to treat, you know, someone down in the inner city as I would treat my Lord, as, you know, if I would treat everybody that way, and we all, you know, treated each other like we would treat Jesus, what a different world we would live in today.
Exactly.
You know, something that the Lord's been speaking to our hearts about is what is called like incarnational evangelism. Mm-hmm. And it's a term that I first heard from Danielle and Steve down in the inner city of Vancouver, where they actually go down into the inner city and live amongst the drug addicts, the prostitutes, and that's what Jesus did. He left his place in glory, and he came into darkness and became one of us, yet without sin.
Exactly.
He was separated unto God, but he came in the likeness of man, and he lived amongst us as a man and showed us the way. And so one of the things that we're doing as a team down in Phoenix is that we are hanging out a lot with the homeless these days and going out for a few days at a time and just living amongst them and being homeless, like sleeping on the streets with them, eating the way that they eat, going out without any money, no cell phones, no nothing, just getting the feel of what it's like to identify with them. And it changes your life.
It totally does.
It changes your life. And then you're not preaching at someone.
Exactly.
But you are inside of their heart, knowing what they need and mm-hmm. able to draw from God on their behalf.
Totally. I mean, everywhere I go, God's just begun to show me. He's begun to open my eyes like I've never had them open before. I sat with a homosexual on a plane I was going from Vancouver to Frankfurt, and I began to read my Bible when I sat on the plane and was just quiet, and after I read my Bible for about an hour and was just praying and stuff, I looked at him and began to talk to him, and he asked me what I did, and I said, well, I'm a pastor. And I said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, I do children's festivals. And I began to be really interested. And so I said, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, we have many people. There's educators, and I'm a homosexual. And he just kept talking like that. So I started to engage him. I said, okay, tell me why you became a homosexual. And we began to talk. And we talked for 7 solid hours. At the end of it, he said to me, he said, when you told me that you were a pastor, and yeah, I saw your Bible come out, I just went, oh. And I realized something from that, is that somehow the church is not at all bridging the gap. We're not incarnational. We're not touching people. They're actually thinking when a Christian walks by, I don't even want to talk to them. And I think that we need to really get back to who Jesus is.
Exactly.
And what the purpose of, what his purpose of coming to earth is, what his desire for mankind is. And I tell you that at the end of 7 hours of talking to that man, I liked him. He was brilliant. But more than that, he said to me, we talked and talked about Jesus the whole time. He said, well, you know, if I were to fall off a cliff, I would probably call on the name of Jesus.
Wow.
And he was searching. He was hungry. And sometimes we just have to know that everybody's hungry and searching. Mm-hmm. Last week on the streets, there was 2 atheists that came up. And they said, instantly, we're atheists. And I said, well, do you mind if we pray for it? And they said, okay. You know, they didn't really care. When I closed my eyes to pray for them, God showed me anger and abuse over the young man. I began to speak to it. And instantly, his eyes filled with tears. I prophesied over the girl, her eyes filled with tears. And the 2 atheists were moved by just the touch of the love of God. They have to... People are atheists for a reason. And I don't think we understand some of the horror that mm-hmm. people live in and what they come out of.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Father sent his Son not to a holy people.
Yeah. While
he sent
we
his
were
Son
still sinners.
To us when we were so messed up,
yeah.
such rebels. We
yeah.
treated him so bad.
Yeah.
But he saw the potential.
Yeah.
He saw through eyes of hope and faith.
Yeah.
And that's what we can do with each other. Mm-hmm. And I love it when we go down into the inner city. Like even last summer,
yeah.
we had an opportunity to live right inside of a slum hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to live that way.
No.
We could have chosen a better hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But we chose the slum hotel because we wanted to identify with the people on the streets. And it was such an experience to wake up in the middle of the night and to hear the screams
yeah.
and the gunshots and the alarms and the burglar alarms
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff and smell all the drug smells and realize
yeah.
people have to live inside of this all the time.
Yeah.
And it gave us such compassion for those that were out on the street.
Yeah, remember when we took that prostitute out for dinner?
Want something to eat? We can take you for something to eat.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to. Where would you like to eat?
Is it better? Let's go then.
Jesus said, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me something to
mm-hmm.
eat. And we didn't have a big success story with the prostitute. She was hurting. She was young. She just ate as much as she could eat.
I know,
she had like 3 appetizers, 3 entrees, 3 desserts, you know, 3 drinks. I mean,
And you know, when we picked her up, Stacy, she was in a little alcove of a store, and she didn't smell nice.
No.
She had urinated over herself. It was obvious
mm-hmm.
by the smell.
The whole dinner was obvious.
The whole dinner, because she sat beside you, so it was really obvious to you. But
yeah.
you didn't shove away from her. You didn't say, thank you very much. I'll sit on the other side of the
mm-hmm.
table. You just
mm-hmm.
engaged with the love of God because
mm-hmm.
she has value. No matter what happened
exactly.
to her, she had value. And that is the basis of a highway byway revival.
Yeah.
It's about identification with the sinner and going out and meeting them right where they're at,
mm-hmm.
bringing forth that love of
mm-hmm.
God and reaching them with the gospel.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, it's once you touch them, once you feel them, once you smell them, once you sit with them, suddenly you realize that there's reasons why they're atheists, there's reasons why they're homosexuals, there's reasons why
That's
they're prostitutes.
Right.
And you shift from judgment, condemnation, or fear of them to compassion.
Yeah.
And that's just how Jesus lived. you know.
Yeah. And out of his compassion comes his power. I remember one time our team was on the streets of L.A. Mm-hmm. We were on Hollywood Boulevard, and this man was going down the middle of the street. He was totally stoned, and he was going to get hit by traffic. I mean, he was his life was in danger. He didn't know where he was, couldn't communicate or anything like that. But one of our team members said, sir, would you like some help? Can I help you?
You want to be free from it? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I command every alcoholic spirit and every spirit of addiction to loose this man right now in Jesus' name, and I close the door in your life to addiction. I close that door right now, and I thank you for transformation. You know that you can be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. By the power of Jesus Christ, your life is being transformed right now. Get sober right now in Jesus' name. Whoa.
Wow.
Do you feel better?
Yes.
Can you think?
I hope so.
Well, you can talk better, so that's good. Do you feel that? Do you feel that difference? That was Jesus.
Is it?
Do you want to ask him into your heart right now? Listen in Jesus' name. I cover you in the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah?
Praise God.
Yeah.
This is like, this is highway, byway, revival. I'd like to just feature our book right now called Light Belongs in the Darkness. And also, we have a DVD, God on the Streets. It's called God on the Streets. And it has the story of the LA fellow in there. Mm-hmm. Also, your blood prophecy and others of yours. And just wonderful clips to build people's faith. But this is Light Belongs in the Darkness. And this is all on prophetic evangelism. A lot of your stories are in here, Stacy, and different times that we've had together. And that book will help people come into vision and into some teaching, some equipping on how to reach out to the lost. Destiny Words. This is the time in the program when we get to encourage you with prophetic insight. And right now, I'm just seeing a woman who actually you used to live on the streets. So some of these stories and the street shots are really shaking you up a little bit inside right now. And the Lord is saying that He took you out to take you back in. But you're not going to go back in as you were. You're going to go back in as a very strong Christian. We had met a woman who had been in the sex trade business on the streets of the inner city of Vancouver for years. And when she came out, she came off the streets for 3 years, got healed inside, got strengthened in the Lord. She's back out on the streets now, strong as ever for Jesus, leading people to Jesus Christ. That is going to be your testimony. And nothing that you suffered is going to be wasted, because God is going to use that which the enemy worked for evil. God's going to turn it for good. And you're going to just, you know, make the devil pay for what he did to you in the past. Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing a picture of a very bright and vivacious young woman. And I believe your name is Noreen. That's the name that keeps coming to mind. But it's like you, your whole life, you've always known things. You've just been able to sense things, feel things. You can feel how other people feel. And you've always known that there's something different about you. In fact, you're beginning to be really interested in the paranormal because it keeps happening to you. And you, just like people can be born leaders and grow up with a leadership anointing, you've grown up with this prophetic ability of being able to see things, these deja vus and whatnot. And Jesus wants you to know that the source of this power is Jesus Christ, and that you have had it in your heart just to help people. You want to see people just like we've done it, out on the streets, saved, come into healing, come into wholeness. And the Lord wants you to know that if you seek the true source, which is Jesus Christ, your ability to help people will go off the charts. So get to know Him.
And there's a young man watching the program right now, and you're saying, yeah, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to be. And it's like there's this evangelistic fire that is just burning on the inside of you. And it's going to include not only prophetic evangelism, but like miracles, signs, and wonders. But you're so radical, and you've been, you know, hearing some of the testimonies and things like that. And you're just ready to go out and launch into something big. You're going to take people with you, because there's a whole bunch of friends that are around you that aren't quite as dynamic or radical as you are, but they will be in time because they're going to catch your fire. They really are. And I see you out in psychic fairs, and I see you out on the streets and, you know, preaching the gospel to drug addicts and things like that. And it's like God is going to really use you in a powerful way. So I just feel like releasing the blessing of the Lord on that go ye call on the inside of you and say, go for it. All that, that inner witness that you've been feeling on this program, just go for it.
Mm-hmm. And just one last thing. I saw a girl, and that you've always looked older than you are. I believe right now you're in your mid-teens or so, but you've always looked a lot older than you are, and that you had actually, your first time you had consensual sex was very, very young, a lot earlier than you should have, but it's because you had a very difficult home life and rebellion just led you out of the home, and now you feel like there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you, but there is hope for you. You can be, though the Bible says, though your sins are as scarlet, you can become white as snow, and Jesus wants to just heal you completely.
Amen.
Become a Breaker Team member today and partner with us in God's Media Army and Harvest Teams through your monthly financial gift of $30 or more. As a partner, you are prayed for every day by skilled intercessors on our team. You receive special gifts, reduced registration fees, and exclusive privileges during many Extreme Prophetic sponsored events. As a Breaker Team financial partner, you receive the Breaker anointing that rests upon Extreme Prophetic. Partner with us today and join the Extreme Prophetic family.
And we do want to thank you very much for joining the Breaker Team, and especially for those of you that are already our Breaker Team members. May the Lord bless you. Because of you, we are able to reach the masses. You know, we get letters all the time from viewers that say, you know, I watched your program, I became a Breaker Team member, and now I'm out doing the stuff. I'm out winning thousands of people to Jesus. And I mean, this isn't just a few letters. This is common material that we get. All it takes is a vision, and that's what television is all about. So thank you so much. And for those of you that are going to become Breaker Team members, may the Lord bless you as you step into it, because the mantle and the grace and the empowerment that God's given to us, we share it with you, and we want you to have it too. Now, here's a special destiny word for each and every one of you. It's this: God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. Now, will you go take that love this week into the dark places? Because Jesus is Lord.
The thing that I gained from going outside of the church, outside of the four walls of the church, onto the streets, just meeting people where they're at, is I gained compassion. And when I began to close my eyes and say, Lord, what do you want to say to this person? You know, I was shocked at the things that he would say. And it was always so, so kind. It was so full of compassion. It was so free of condemnation. I mean, even to people that were exceptionally broken, you know, and that from the outside in, if you looked at them, you could easily judge. But what the Lord would say would be so kind. It would be so full of compassion. I mean, a lot of times I would just start weeping, you know, with compassion of what the Lord showed me. And it's such a delight, because, you know, I've learned so much about the heart of God and how God looks out on people, and they're like sheep without a shepherd, and they're scattered, and they don't know that they don't know. I learned a lot about God, actually, just God himself.